the areas of estate planning and wills, probate, and business law, the firm's slogan is based out of Micah 6:8, to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
The following is a special pre-recorded broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Please enjoy this message and happy Independence Day from First Conservative Baptist Church.
Let me invite us to open our Bible to one verse. That'll start us. One verse, Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the 34th verse. Stand, if you will, please, out of honor and recognition of the reading of the Word. Proverbs 14, 34. We read these words, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Thank you, and we may be seated. Sometimes I'll have 12, 15 verses. I think it kind of shocks everybody. There's one. It's a starting point. I am thankful that we can open the Bible. Let me introduce the message today by a few words. Don't get afraid now. I'm not going to try to sing it. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America. God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Now, I don't know what that says to you. I can be driving down the highway, any place, any city, and I see the gigantic flag, and I'm just marveled by it, thrilled to see it, rejoicing in the heart that we have that freedom in our nation today. 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence pledged their lives in signing that declaration. And yet I find in our nation today a sad, sad, sad scenario that so many are not proud to be Americans. We have those in the Beltway in D.C. AOC just said the past week that America is perhaps the worst nation on the face of the earth. We have those that are making our laws and leading our nation that reject anything that's called America the Beautiful, reject anything that is called the freedom that we have in our nation. I just say, what a wondrous song this is, America the Beautiful. We find in the scriptures an urgent, irrefutable, undeniable truth that a nation's response to God is really the determining factor in the history and the destiny of that nation. When a nation honors God, there's a blessing, there are benefits and bounty in that nation. But when a nation dishonors God, when a nation is disobedient to God, when a nation rejects the Word of God, there's decline, there's devastation, there's ultimate doom for that nation. Someone has said this, moral principles and spiritual convictions are the first important things as regards a nation's progress, its preservation or its decline, not politics, not policies, not practices of economics, as seems to be the philosophy today and the thoughts in our government today. The place, ladies and gentlemen, that we give God in our nation makes the determination of the destiny of our great nation. In fact, in Psalms 33:12, some are familiar with the text. Psalms 33:12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." Read that again. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And then when you hear representatives like Jerry Nadler that is upset because a representative is standing at the pulpit or the speaker stand reading from the scripture to point out the fact that the focus they had on introducing a bill would be immoral. And Nadler said, "God's word, the Bible, has no place in the halls of Congress." That's the mindset typically that we find in the Beltway in Washington today. We need to understand the destiny of our nation is determined on our determination to honor God. Today, America stands at the crossroads. Today, there's a decision that needs to be made, not just by the political leadership in Washington, but a decision needs to be made by every American as to what we want in our nation and what God has done and why God has blessed us and where we're headed as a nation. We must decide the right road to travel. We must make the determination on what to say and what to do, and the destiny of our nation determined on our absolute dependence on and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We have two choices. And I'm going to talk about those two choices as an elongated introduction to our text for today, that we might understand exactly what we have as far as the two choices. If you're out of town, you're traveling, you get to an intersection, and I found a lot of them in Raleigh, North Carolina, that you sit there and wonder, well, there's three signs and which one's right. You get to an intersection, you try to decide, what route do I take? Do I go left, do I go right, or go straight ahead? That's the crossroads, and we're there today in America. We're at the crossroads in our great nation. There are two parties. If I can be bold enough to talk about it, there's some that are saying that we ought not to talk about political things in the pulpit. And as I tell people 5 days a week on the radio broadcast, where we have an audience of about 2.2 million people in the geographical area that we cover, God created the home, God created the government, and God created the church, and in that order. And any preacher, any Christian that says we ought not to talk about politics, they're ignorant of the Word of God. God's word said it, and civil government was designed by God as God's servant to serve him. And it's not the people that are to be the servants, but it's those that we choose to lead us that should be our servants. And we, the people, ought to make the choice and the decisions. Let's talk about the Democratic platform for a moment. We've got two choices with the crossroads. What do we do? I've had people say, "Why, I just can't understand a preacher." One chided me about 2 weeks ago on the radio broadcast when he called, and I was talking about some of the political issues and some of the things that are taking place, and he wanted to chide me because as a preacher, as a Christian, we ought not talk about those things. I was specifically talking about the illegal invaders that are coming in, have come in the past 4 years, illegally so, under the guidance and direction and the auspices of the autopen Biden. And as a result of that, we have a major, major, major deficit in our nation. And his child was, how did your family, how did your grandparents come into America? They came in legally. They came in the front door. They didn't come in the back door. And there's a mindset today that you ought not to talk about that. But the push of a borderless America is what you find with the Democratic platform, the threat of Islamic invasion and the terrorism across our nation. Right now, Pam Bondi with the DOJ and the FBI, they're warning America that we have sleeper cells in our nation just waiting for the opportunity to perform another 9/11 in our nation. And it's as a result of not recognizing the blessing that God has blessed America with the freedom in our nation, we've allowed those freedoms to be used to our detriment and the future destruction of our nation. That one platform would be to continue the murder by way of abortion. The loose likes, lost liberals, the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party, the Marxist media would have you to believe that the major, major thing that you need to examine a candidate on is on the basis of whether they embrace murder by way of abortion. The big, beautiful bill, by the way, that was just signed by our president, when the House had designed it, sent it to the Senate, Senate rejected a portion of it, and one of the portions was that the House had removed any tax dollars going to the Planned Parenthood to murder babies in the mother's womb. The Senate decided they didn't want that. So when it went, they struck that completely when it got back to the House for the modification for the getting it ready to be signed. They put it in there that 1 year only, tax dollars would not go to Planned Parenthood. After that year, go back to spending several hundred million dollars a year going to Planned Parenthood to destroy our nation by way of the murder. Some 65 to 70 million human lives have been murdered in the mother's womb. And the Democrats call it choice. God's word calls it murder. We're at that point today. If you choose that platform, the religious liberties are being destroyed today. The ultra of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, claiming to have the rights to perform butchering and the barbaric practice of cutting away body parts, and supposedly that is simply health care in the avenues and the hallways of those that believe in that as the rights of human beings. The right race toward socialism is where we are today. The rapid race that I don't know that many understand what's happening. When we have the socialist, Marxist, communist professors in our prestigious universities teaching our youth that America is bad, that America is to be hated and rejected, that America ought to be changed into a socialistic nation. The communist Islamic that's running for mayor in New York got 52.6% out of the 11 candidates running in the primary. He says he wants to remove the police department. He wants to set up free grocery stores funded by taxpayers in New York. He says that anything that is looked at as the Constitution needs to be removed because he is a socialist, Marxist, communist running for the mayor's position in New York. He bragged about the fact that the majority of his voters in the primary were white, middle income to upper income, educated elitist in New York. You know why that is the vote? Simply because those that have voted for him were never taught anything about our Constitution in their universities, where the mindset is, let's destroy America. We're talking about America at the crossroads. We're talking about one choice. One of the choices would be that which will say freedom of speech should be destroyed. That those that will say the freedom of speech is not needed and necessary, that we need to squelch that because of disinformation and misinformation. The ultimate persecution of Christians, called Christians domestic terrorists under the previous leadership. Because a Christian parent would go in and challenge a school board for the pornography that's being shown in the classroom and to destroy and to sexualize and weaponize our sons and our daughters in the colleges and the universities and the grade level schools. That was referred to as being a domestic terrorist if you'd stand before the school board and challenge the porn that's being taught in the classroom under the guise of sex education. We're talking about a plank, if you will, please, in a particular party, the continuation of lies and crimes and corruptions and cover-up. The Biden auto pen is just now being uncovered as to what really, do we realize, fully understand when we talk about the Biden auto pen, that 98% of what was supposed to be signed by Joe Biden was signed by an electronic pen that he had no idea was being signed? Most, if not all, of his pardons are illegal. Most, if not all, of the laws that he signed as to be signed by the president are rated, could be challenged in the courts and considered illegal because he did not sign them. He did not know anything about it. There's a major investigation taking place on that, and it's my prayer that it will be discovered who authorized the auto pen. And it's not just the auto pen. Do you realize there were three auto pens? With three different people having their responsibility when given the word to simply sign documents, the auto pen, Joe Biden's auto pen. the destruction of our Constitution is increasing and has increased at an alarming rate during the past 4 years in particular. The Constitution and the rule of law are not those things that are looked at as being important in our nation, and we're witnessing, have been witnessing, the loss of our liberties, the loss of our freedoms in America as a result of the previous four-year presidency. I am thankful, and listen, I've also been chided because someone said, well, you're just worshiping Donald J. Trump. No, it's not. I'm thankful for God's divine intervention that placed him in office, and even President Trump himself said, I believe God saved my life for me to save America. And I believe that ought to be recognized by every child of God, every Christian, every conservative on the face of God's green earth today, especially those in America. The destruction of our Constitution and the rule of law are not viewed as important anymore. Government and corruption and pay to play as a basic rule and principle and practice. This is the reason so many got upset with the DOJ. When there was the uncovering of the billions of dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse. They didn't want to hear it simply because the majority of those on the left that I would call the loose, lax, lost liberals, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, because they were part of that waste, fraud, and abuse. So someone said on one occasion, said, preacher, do you have any Democrats in your church? I said, God, I hope not. So if you're listening to this in the future by way of radio or otherwise, I stand on that today, just as I did then when that question was asked. God has given us President Trump to come in and drain the swamp, stop the corruption, displace the waste, and to appoint Supreme Court justices and judges that will honor God. We've got three Supreme Court justices, one of which cannot tell you what a woman is, and the other two are in-your-face lesbians that's making decisions for the direction of our nation today. I'm glad we've got some on the U.S. Supreme Court that can identify a woman. I'll never understand how that individual was chosen. If you sit there and you say, well, I don't know what a woman is, can't identify a woman, that should be number one, you're disqualified. That second platform, abolish socialism. Destroy the giveaway programs, secure our nation's borders, defeat and destroy Islamic terrorism, preserve our Bill of Rights, including the religious liberties and the freedom of speech and the right to keep and bear arms. Did you realize in the big, beautiful bill, things that were not even discussed by the Marxist media, six different areas of that bill to protect our liberties in the Second Amendment and to stop the arduous taxation of some specific weapons that would be purchased, that with the signing of that bill gives relief and takes away some of the infringement on our Bill of Rights, especially the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms. I've told people too many times from the pulpit and by way of radio, I believe in God and Glock and in that order. There are a lot of folks that believe somehow, some way. If you're a Christian, you ought not to believe in a weapon because that's dangerous. A gun has never killed anybody. When it pulls the trigger, does the killing. Somehow, some way, we have believed the left and believing that we need to discontinue our Bill of Rights. In fact, the liberal, Marxist, socialist, communist that's just won the primary, as I spoke of a moment ago, in New York City. He believes that we need to ban all weapons. We should be a weapon-free nation. I don't believe he understands that about 350 million people. We got about 250 million weapons in America. I'd like to see him try to confiscate them. But anyway, we need to look at the two parties, if you please, the two platforms. One platform is to protect life, the human life in the womb. Some preachers say, well, you know, preacher, I can't preach like you do because they might come in and take my 501c3. A lady called one day and said, you know, you're a preacher and you're talking about politics. I'm going to take your 501c3. I said, ma'am, if you can find it, you can have it. There's a mindset that we need to be silent. The amendment to a transportation bill in 1954 by Lyndon Baines Johnson as senator made it illegal, supposedly, for a preacher to say anything about from the pulpit about politics. There's never been a church in America that's been prosecuted or persecuted on the basis of that. In fact, we need to understand that we have that liberty. Most do not realize that in March of 2017, Donald J. Trump, as the 45th president, simply by executive order, canceled that 501c3 challenge in the IRS that says a preacher can't talk about political things. I tell people, I don't give up my religious liberties, my freedom of speech, my Constitution and Bill of Rights because I happen to be a preacher. I stand in the pulpit. Every Christian, every child of God needs to recognize that God gave us that freedom. It's codified in our Bill of Rights and in our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. In fact, when you study the Declaration of Independence and those that signed it, those that worded it, those that wrote it, those that had deliberated over it, the overwhelming majority, and yet we have the Marxist liberals on the left that say they were not all Christians, some were deists. They were majority Christians. There might have been one or two that may not have been practicing his religious faith, but I'm telling you today, without those men that signed that Declaration of Independence, we would not have the freedom and the liberty that we have today in the United States of America in celebrating our 249th birthday. We have a president today that wants to restore law and order, respect our law enforcement, and to stop the invasion of the illegals coming in across the border. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? We need to pray and seek God's face, confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. That's what the righteous needs to do. That's the only way we're going to have revival in America today. We, the people, have a voice, a vote. We voted in November 5th of last year, in 2024. God divinely intervened once again and gave us a president that I believe is at a time that we're in America today, that just as in Esther, it was for the time that we're faced with today, that we have the man that I believe had the spine, the backbone, and the grit, if you want to call it that, to stand and protect America. Three things that I want us to notice from this one verse in Proverbs 14:34. Three things. First of all, I want us to notice the problem that destroys a nation. Secondly, the program that defends a nation. Thirdly, the process that delivers a nation. Listen very carefully. The problem that destroys a nation, according to this scripture, the Bible says righteousness, that means right living before God, exalteth, that means to lift up, to glorify, to honor a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. One of the problems today is that of righteousness, right living. Even in our churches today, we're witnessing a great apostasy, a major falling away. George Barner said just a couple of years ago that out of about 300,000 churches in America, that one out of five would close within 24 months, and we're there today. Churches are closing across our nation today. Churches that are not closing are suffering for those that claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. They're robbing God in their time, talent, treasure, and testimony. Somehow, some way, there's a mindset that the church will always survive. Yes, the church, the organism, the church will always survive. There's no place in the Word of God that God says these churches up and down the highways and streets and hedges would always be open. God's church will always survive. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Bible tells us very, very clearly. Righteousness, right living, right living. Multitudes do not want to be told that there's sin in the life. We are in a society today where the mindset is, preacher, you can't tell me how to live. After all, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I've got my tickets already paid. How I live today makes no difference. Yes, it does. By their fruit ye shall know them. Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, that there's coming a time that there will be those who say, Lord, Lord, have we not done great deeds in your name, cast out demons in your name? Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Word iniquity is twisted, perverted sin. There's a mindset today that an individual can simply say, I'm saved, and live like he wants to. I'm saved and ignore Christ. I'm saved, ignore the Word of God. I'm saved and I don't have to worship him and serve him or surrender my life to his lordship. The problem that destroys a nation, number one, is the condition of sin. Sin is disobedience to God. Sin says, I'm going to go my way and do my own thing, disregarding anything that God's word says that we need to do or say. Sin is a rebellion against God. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, no God. Now, you may not have heard this before. The fool had said in his heart, no to God or no God. Either way, there are multitudes today say, well, I believe God exists, but I'm going to live my life as though God is not there at all. It's saying no to God. Not just the personal sin, but national sin. Our nation has sinned. Our nation has said no to God. Our nation has said anything that's called morals and ethics and values we'll just discard. It is the woke society today that says that I'm going to live however I want to live. And the problem is we've brought that woke society into our churches today. And we have the rock and roll music today, the blacked out walls today. We have the smoke and mirrors today that is a rock and roll show today rather than the worship of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our churches. We have declined to the point that we want to invite the world into the church rather than the church going out into society and reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have today the indication of the lack of morals and ethics and values the Bible calls sin. Supreme Court has said yes to sodomite marriages. Christians and churches are under attack with the religious liberties and the rights and the freedoms that we have, biblically speaking, being undermined, curtailed, and destroyed today. Abortion, with some 65 to 70 million human beings have been murdered today. Prayer and Bible removed from the classrooms today. In fact, there's a movement today in state after state after state to restore the Ten Commandments. In the state of Texas, recently they were voting on putting the Ten Commandments back in every classroom. And the Democrats that were against it and promoting to vote no on that bill, they had a mantra. Even if they pass the bill and the Ten Commandments go into the classrooms, we need to urge our kids in school, don't even look at it. Here in the state of Florida, we have a law that was passed in 2018 that required In God We Trust over the classroom doors of every classroom. It's never been enforced. It's never been put into place. It's still a law on the books as of today. We are denying the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're denying the infallible, inerrant Word of God. We're denying the place for society in society for Christians to live and express our faith because of what is taking place in our nation. The sodomites have special rights today, transgenderism. And I'm thankful to see President Donald J. Trump that says no to that. Cutting off the money. I have had our military in the past 4 years that's been destroyed with the sodomite agenda, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Some say that, well, you know, you ought not to talk about that because that's a person's lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that's antithetical to anything that's called the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And we're talking about sin that destroys a nation. Our nation is permeating today. It's not just an individual sin. It's not just in family sin. It's national sin where we've openly rebelled against God and against God's word. We've removed the nativity scenes and crosses and prayer and Bible from the public scenes in America. Christians, conservatives are under attack if you take a stand publicly for the word of God. You say, why is that so important? Why is it? That is the foundation. And again, I go back to Psalms 11:3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're witnessing, have been witnessing for years now, the undermining and the tearing down of the foundation of America. God has blessed America because we have blessed God for 249 years. We're watching it, have watched it, being reversed. Not only see the condition of sin, but notice the consequences of sin in that verse is a reproach to any people. What does the word reproach mean? It means to dishonor. It means to insult. It means it's a shame. Listen to what the scripture says. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people.
Please stay tuned after the news for the remainder of this special broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkestone. WMUV-HD4, Brunswick. And W272-CQ, Jacksonville. WTRJ, the truth.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A Democratic Socialist beats a 30-year incumbent in Colorado's Democratic primary for the U.S. House in the 1st District, Denver. 29-year-old former attorney